You're listening to the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio podcast.
The Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. You don't reckon Fremantle are in the hot seat, Jono? So they haven't done a whole lot, unfortunately. They've lost Lachie Schultz. They've lost Joel Hambling. Now, Hambling's not going to be a huge loss for them because of how strong their defence is. But Pierce has had his issues with his body and his durability over time. So he was a handy backup. They offered him a one-year deal, but he's gone. And Liam Henry is a big blow. And they lost a few last year as well. So we've touched on that. Now, they have acquired, what they have done, the positive is they've acquired three first-round picks. And they are targeting Sydney forward Logan McDonald, who is their key target this time next year, who's out of contract with Sydney. But Sydney working away to get that deal extended. If Logan McDonald signs at Sydney, what's their move?
Yeah, where do Freo go? It's a good point.
Because it's not, I mean, it's not the easiest place to go and attract players to go and play. It's a long way, and it's over the journey since Matthew Pavlich is, you know, coming to the end. They've targeted a number of key forwards. They got McCarthy that didn't work. They had a crack at Harry Taylor. They had a crack at Cloke
Hogan one was in
year,
there. Hogan was in there for a little bit.
Hogan lasted a little bit, but wasn't with any success.
Like, Luke Jackson's a good get for them. That's a win for the players they have lost over the last probably 4 or 5 years. That's a positive. Yeah, they are setting themselves up for the future as well. And the future, it's probably the future in the forward half of the ground. I think they need to start looking at some of the defensive backs as well as they continue to age, but overall their midfield's pretty young and vibrant and can get going. It actually surprised me that they haven't maybe looked at a Jack Billings just to get him in for a couple of years, even just to see if he can assist with their forward half ball use, their use inside forward 50, with the fact that now Schultz is gone. Billings is a bit of a worker as well. Like, he's the type of player that's sitting there that is willing to move clubs, and Freo might be the place for him to go and escape and reinvent his career as well.
Mm. Yeah, a bit of class as well. So you finish 14th and you get significantly worse from a playing point of view, and the double blow is that you don't have any draft picks. So pick 34 and 46 is their first two draft picks this year. I know they're stacked and well done, but you reckon Justin Longmuir wants to wait
It dropped off quicker than what I think Freo thought it would. They had a good year, win the final against the Bulldogs, which was a big win. They were 40 points down in that final to come back and win it. And so everyone thought the natural progression was to play finals again, progress to a top six team and go from there. It's dropped the other way. And that's why I think they were setting themselves up to keep progressing, and it didn't work. So now they're in a bit of a hole because of no draft picks this year. And they're building again. They've had to reset their thinking to build for next year and next year's draft and beyond, or next year's trade period and beyond. So is next year going to be a write-off for the Fremantle Dockers? We wait and see. This is it's a big year for them as a football club.
And I reckon it's going to take some strong leadership. So are they out of patience with the coach, or are they saying, well, hang on, there's reasons behind. Just say if they miss the eight this year, and if they're reasonably competitive and miss the eight, say they had a similar season to what Adelaide have, and they're on the cusp all year, are the board...
I think you'd be happy with that at Fremantle. Yeah.
But is the board and the supporters going to be patient enough with that? It's been a long rebuild. It went up and then it's come down. Are they happy to stay stagnant and go, well, there's reasons behind that. We're going to back him in with probably a two-year contract towards the back end of next year. Mm. And then go again with this coach, or are they going to get really impatient?
No, I think they wait. I think they give him. I think they have to wait till mid-year at least. I think that's the way to do it. But ultimately, if Longmuir can get them playing just competitive footy, the win-loss side of things. I know we're in that industry, but the win-loss side of things maybe is not the answer to his future. It's the way they're playing. It's the style. It's the competitive nature that you're talking about that probably secures him to go to that next phase if they can land the big trade, and all of a sudden he gets some personnel in his lineup that actually gives him a real chance to succeed as a coach. And then off the back of that, that's when you can make a real judgment, I think, on him as a individual coach in this
system. I
agree
with that. 10 and 13 with a percentage of 96, that percentage has got to get well into the hundreds, you would think. They've got to play a faster and more attacking style of football.
Oh, you look at the best teams. The best teams have a really strong percentage. They did all throughout this year. That's not going to change. Next year, you're right. It's got to be well into the the past 110, that's got to be your aim in terms of your percentage as a team.